Welcome to CBJ in 30.
I'm sure this will be a real bonding experience. Maybe one day, one of you will even write a book about it in jail.
You give us 30 minutes, and we'll give you all you want to know about your Columbus Blue Jackets and the NHL.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Now, here's your host, who has a few opinions of his own.
Well, Lottie frickin' duh!
Bob McGilligan.
All in all, it's just a another brick in the wall.
From the time that John Davidson was hired as the president of hockey operations for the Blue Jackets, he has stood by his philosophy of one brick at a time. That's the way he saw fit to build this franchise, one brick at a time. And with the Blue Jackets clinching the playoffs, it is indeed just another brick in the wall. Welcome to CBJ in 30. I'm Bob McElligott. Not only has that been a standard and a staple of this organization, building that way, but then you couple that with John Tortorella's day by day. So you've got brick by brick, day by day, and it has worked for this organization. Now, don't get me wrong. There have been times when the bricks have fallen off the wall a little bit. Maybe the mortar wasn't what they thought it was going to be. Maybe the ground shifted underneath that brick wall and some of it toppled over. But the foundation has always stayed strong. And now they're building on the foundation to get things done. And I was thinking about this just driving back from practice. The last time the Blue Jackets were in the playoffs, 3 years ago when they were in the playoffs, you could make the argument that that's a team that went to the playoffs based almost solely on the players of the previous regime, the previous general manager. That's what they went there on. There were a couple of guys that were acquired or were brought in, but the bulk of that team was assembled by a different group of different people. So this year, when you look at it, this team is almost entirely, not completely entirely, not utterly entirely by any means, but you look at this team and what Jarmo Kekäläinen has done as the general manager to put this team together. I mean, you've got Alexander Wennberg and Oliver Bjorkstrand that he drafted. You've got Sam Gagne, who they signed this year at a bargain basement price to come in here. Brandon Saad, who they acquired in a trade. You've got William Karlsson, who they picked up in a trade for James Wisniewski. What a deal that was. We don't even talk about that one anymore. But what a deal that was to get William Karlsson in exchange for James Wisniewski. That is, you know, really paid, no offense, but it's paid more dividends having Karlsson than it did with Wisniewski when he was here. Then you have Lucas Sedlak. You've got Scott Hartnell. You've got Seth Jones, Zach Werenski, Marcus Nuttavaara, Scott Harrington, Kyle Quincy, Jonas Korpisalo. What a job that Jarmo has done. And the scouts. I don't want to take anything away from the scouts. Those are the guys that are out there literally scouring every inch of the planet to try to find good players. It's not just Canada and the U.S. They are all over Europe, Sweden, Finland. They're in Russia. They're everywhere looking for the best players. Where is the next young player that could be an impact guy in this organization? Those guys are doing that each and every night. I know a lot of scouts from all the years that I spent in the American Hockey League and now in the National Hockey League. And it's funny because you've got pro scouts and they do both leagues because they're doing professional players. I don't see much of the amateur scouts. I see them when they come in for meetings. I see them, you know, at time to time at the draft. At the draft, you always see the amateur scouts, of course, because you're drafting amateur players at the time. So I don't see much of the amateur scouts, not like I see the pro scouts by any means. And those guys, they work hard. I will see them. Who did I just talk to the other day? I talked to Sean Dineen, who is one of the brothers of Pete Dineen, who's a pro scout with the Blue Jackets, but Sean is with the Nashville Predators now. And I can't remember. I saw him in New Jersey the other night, but I saw him somewhere just about a week before. And I said, where have you been lately? And, well, I was in Albany, and then I went down to Allentown. I've been up to Syracuse lately, got over to Cleveland to watch a game. Then I was in Detroit. I mean, these guys are everywhere. All over the place. So they are the unsung heroes of the organization, without question. without their due diligence, without their travels, without their judgment, you wouldn't have this caliber of player in the organization like the Blue Jackets do. So, you know, as we talk about how well these players have played, and they have, and how their attitude and their confidence is right, and it is, how John Tortorella has pointed them and pushed them in the right direction, and he has, you know, we should talk about some of those other guys too. The guys that are the behind the scenes, the unsung heroes. Now, the general managers, they appreciate those scouts, especially Yarmo. He used to be a scout. Many general managers were scouts. So they know what it's like to be in the car driving in Saskatchewan in a blizzard, just so you can go see that one kid play for 2.5 periods of that one game. He knows what it's like. Most general managers know what it's like. They've been there. But those guys, they don't get the credit that they deserve. We don't talk about them. And when you do talk about them, many times it's like, well, there's another bust of a second-round pick or a bust of a third-round pick. You know, whose guy was that? Well, you know what? Those guys deserve to get a lot of credit in this situation to help to find the players that the Blue Jackets have assembled to put together this team. Now, I've got to tell you, yesterday I gave you an extra long CBJ in 30. Today you may get you might get shortcut a little bit, and I'll tell you why, because I was just at practice. I said that. And then after practice, we had a broadcast meeting to talk about the playoffs. Can I tell you how great it is to have that meeting? To have to sit down and say, okay, when the playoffs start, what things are we going to change? We're going to expand. We're definitely going to expand. Our pregame is going to go to at least 30 minutes, talking about going to 60 minutes, which I hope we're able to do. Make it a big deal. That's what we're trying to do. So when you expand from 15 minutes to 30 minutes and maybe 30 minutes to 60 minutes, you have to decide what your content is going to be in all that extra time that you now have. So that's what we had a meeting on to talk about that. And it's such an exciting meeting to sit there and know that this doesn't end on April 9th. This is just beginning on April 10th. That's what the exciting thing is. That's when it begins. Now, there's a whole lot to do between now and then. I'm not overlooking one game or 1 minute, actually, between now and that first playoff game, whatever date it happens to be. But I'll tell you this, just to have that planning meeting to start to get ready, it is a fantastic feeling. Just to know that you're going to be there, and now there's going to be a lot of attention. There were a lot more people at today's practice, a lot more media, and there will be even more media, which I forgot. And I didn't really forget. I just don't think about it. You know, you spend all year where, in a market like this, you have the players pretty much to yourselves, right? There's us as the broadcasters. There's the dispatch. We'll have two guys there, sometimes three guys there. And other than that, you know, television cameras, the local TV, they come in here and there, but not so much during the football season, then more so after that's over. But then you get to this time of the year and you clinch a playoff spot and everybody's there. And it's great. The exposure is fantastic. I was thrilled when I got home on Sunday from New Jersey and started to watch the local news on Sunday night, and the Blue Jackets was winning, or clinching, rather, was one of the top stories. I think it was the second story right behind the weather on the newscast that I saw. But they talked about the game. They did a couple of the highlights. They had a reporter on location at a watch party interviewing fans. You know, that... it's a big deal, and I love that. But then you get all these other people around, and you've been in your routine all year long, and all of a sudden your routine gets thrown for a loop because these other people are around, and they tend to pass you on the depth chart sometimes. Why? Well, because they work for the NHL. What? That's a big deal. What? Because they work for USA Today. They get to go in front of me in my daily interview. You know what I mean? It's just so it gets frustrating because now I'm thrown out of my rhythm. It's all about me. You know that. It's all about me. But you get thrown out of your own personal rhythm and you're trying to regroup and get things together and all that stuff. So there were a lot more people there today at practice. And let me tell you, I thought today's practice was a very spirited practice. It had a lot of jump to it. It once again represented a team that doesn't feel as though they've done anything yet. Well, they know they've done something. They know they've clinched. They know that they have guaranteed, as I said yesterday, they've guaranteed what they've already known since Christmas. Okay. So now that's a guarantee. Boom. Check. Off the list. All right, get into the playoffs. Check. Now, get to the top of the Metropolitan Division. That's the next check that they want to put on their list. And they know that it's going to take a lot of work to get to that spot. Tied with the Capitals in points, 1 point ahead of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Penguins are just the, defending Stanley Cup champs. Capitals are just the, defending President's Trophy winners for best record in the regular season last year. You know, so it should be no problem, right? But that's how they're looking at it. They're looking at it as it should be no problem. They expect, they have an expectation as a team to be able to challenge and win. Brandon Dubinsky said it the other day after the clincher in New Jersey. And I think it was Aaron Portsline of the Dispatch asked him, 11 games left, you know, what's the outlook for the 11 games? And he said, win them all. And he's right. That's got to be your mindset. That's got to be your focus. It isn't, well, we're going to take our foot off the gas and we're going to get a little bit of rest here. It's not that at all. It's simply that there's more work to be done, and they know it, and that's the way they're acting. And their practice today looked just like that. It was a hard practice. It was a good practice. It had a lot of energy. It had one surprise, I'll tell you that. Lucas Sedlak was lined up on the left wing on the fourth line, not at center, and Scott Hartnell was not part of that line. So tomorrow, Scott Hartnell, as it is right now, this is all subject to change because somebody could go out and trip over a curb and hurt themselves tonight. But right now, Scott Hartnell's not playing tomorrow. Lucas Sedlak is going to play on the wing and not at center, but Hartnell is going to be a scratch, and it's a healthy scratch at that. And tomorrow, I will ask Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella about that scratch and about making that scratch and about how tough that is for him and get the reasoning behind it. I will also talk with him tomorrow about the schedule for the goaltenders, because we talked about this yesterday and some of the questions that you sent me as part of the Monday mailbag about Sergei Bobrovsky getting more rest. I was on The Fan 97.1 yesterday with Anthony Rothman and Bobby Carpenter, and they started asking me about that. I don't know that he's going to get anything different than they were already going to give him, to be completely honest with you. I think they feel like now they have Jonas Korpisalo, who is more than a viable backup, who can come in and win a game for you, as we saw the other day in Brooklyn against the Islanders. He came in. He got them the win. He made big saves early in the game, and he did a good job, and they got the win. And that's all they want. They want to have a guy that they feel for sure can go in there and get you a couple of points when Sergei Bobrovsky has to take the day off. They didn't have that same belief in Curtis McElhinney. They just didn't. I mean, the team did. They loved Curtis McElhinney. They loved him. And as a teammate, fantastic. He's great. But I don't think that the coaching staff had the full confidence in Curtis McElhinney that you could run him out there, you know, two times in four games and you would still get 3 of the 4 points. But they do feel that way about Jonas Korpisalo, and I understand that. I do. I love Curtis McElhinney. He's fantastic. He's a great person. He's a great guy. But I can understand that mindset and that thinking. So that's where, you know, that's where they are. They've kind of planned it out for the goaltenders. And tomorrow I'll talk with Torts about that and see if that schedule has, if there is a definite schedule from now to the end of the year, if he had one and he altered it, or if he still, or if he goes day by day with those guys too. You know, we see him on the plane sometimes. He'll go back to the back and ask, whoever played the night before, if they're okay to go again the next night. And, you know, he says he doesn't talk to the goalies. He does. He does when he has to. He's not telling them how to do their job. He just wants to gauge their physical, not shape, that's not the right word. He wants to gauge when it comes to their energy and if they're going to be able to go out and play at the same level the next night as they did the night before. So we'll talk about all that tomorrow. But the Hartnell thing is, it's kind of a big deal. To me, it's kind of a big deal. Are you scratching him because he's not playing well enough? Or are you scratching him to give him a rest? Are you going to get into this thing where you're going to give people rest? And I think that John Tortorella may do that, but I don't think he's going to do it by saying, I just want to give him a day off. I really don't. I think he's going to do it by saying that, well, he wasn't one of the best 12 for this game tonight, and so he's not going to play tonight. Now, I think you have to have the player thinking like that to keep the edge, right? Because you don't want them to say, oh, well, I'm in no matter what. No, you're not. You've got to be playing your best. And, I think there's still a way that you can scratch a guy, keep him hungry for the playing time. You know, you're giving him a rest. If you want him to think something different, that's fine. But I don't know. I'll ask Torts about the whole mentality of that if you will. We'll hear his perspective about that on tomorrow's game day preview when the Blue Jackets take on the Toronto Maple Leafs, which, by the way, could be a first-round playoff matchup. You know that, right? Right now the Leafs are in the final wild card spot. And, well, let's just look at the standings as it is right now. Again, I told you, Washington and Columbus tied with 100 points, but the Capitals hold the stupid tiebreaker. It is a stupid tiebreaker. Blue Jackets have two games head-to-head against Washington. They've got to win those. Pittsburgh's sitting just 1 point behind. We almost forget to talk about the Penguins, and they're right there, breathing down the necks of the Blue Jackets. 99 points for the Penguins. Then over in the Atlantic, you have Montreal with 90 points, Ottawa with 86. I didn't talk about this yesterday, but Montreal made a statement in that Atlantic division as they won back-to-back games over Ottawa this weekend, and that opened up the gap there to 4 points between those two. Boston has 82 points. They are in third place. The two wild-card teams, the New York Rangers, and the first wild-card spot, they've got 93 points. Then you've got Toronto with 81 points in the second and final wild-card spot. So Toronto is 3 points ahead of the New York Islanders, 4 points ahead of the Tampa Bay Lightning. And again, I said this yesterday, I think that the Lightning has stumbled. They've lost a couple of games they couldn't afford to lose. Toronto's playing with house money. I think the Islanders had a nice run at it, but I think they're going to fall short. You know, my favorite today is for Toronto to wind up in that spot. So let's say they do, and the Blue Jackets overtake the Washington Capitals and finish number one in the Metropolitan Division, then you would have a Columbus-Toronto first-round playoff series. So tomorrow night's game could be, it's potentially a playoff preview between two very young teams who are just having fun, that are just playing the game and having fun. They both have veteran coaches that have taught them what they need to learn and have then basically let them go and let them just play hockey. Not quite the way that they see fit all the time, but They've kind of let them go and let them do their thing. And that thing has worked out extremely well to this point. Over in the Western Conference, Chicago, they're right there too. They're in the mix for the President's Trophy. 99 points is what they have. They're now 7 points ahead of Minnesota. I wouldn't say the Wild is falling like a rock, but they have really put themselves out of the chance to win that division and win that conference and have home ice advantage through the conference playoffs. Nashville is in the third spot right now. They have 83 points. Then you've got in the Pacific Division, San Jose Sharks, 4 points better than the Edmonton Oilers and Anaheim Ducks. Sharks have 91. The Oilers and Ducks have 87 points apiece. The two wildcard teams over in the West, Calgary with 86 points and St. Louis with 81 points. The Los Angeles Kings have 75 points now. I think they've cooked their own goose, to be honest with you. I think that they are now going to be out of the playoff picture. They tried to do some things at the trade deadline so that they could stay in the playoff picture. I think they fall short, to be quite honest with you. And all of this because the Maple Leafs beat the Bruins last night 4-2. They scored three times in the third period, by the way, to win that game. And as I just said, young guys who are just going out there and having a good time. As in the third period, Tyler Bozak, William Nylander, and Nazem Kadri all scored to give the Leafs the win. The Sabres were a 2-1 winner on the road in Detroit yesterday. The Coyotes lost in Nashville 3-1. It's a big win for the Predators who are, you know, again, trying to stay in that top three in the Central Division. Sharks lost in Dallas to the Stars. 1-0 was the score in that game. The Kings were shut out by the Edmonton Oilers 2-0. The Oilers have back-to-back shutouts going, by the way. So they're starting to turn it up. But I think that game last night, you know, for the LA Kings, you got to win that game. Simple as that. And I do think that they have cooked their royal goose. Now the games that are going to be played tonight, the Bruins are at home against the Senators, the number 2 and 3 seed right now in the Atlantic Division. And the Bruins, just 4 points separate those two teams. The Bruins would like to get home ice in the first round. They have a chance to climb toward that tonight. The Penguins are going to be in Buffalo to take on the Sabres. As I mentioned, the Sabres played last night in Detroit, so it's the second half of a back-to-back for them, although Jack Eichel is playing extremely well right now. He comes in leading the Buffalo Sabres with 50 points on the year. The New York Rangers are going to be across the river in New Jersey, where they'll take on the Devils tonight. The Capitals are on home ice. They're taking on the Calgary Flames. This would be a great night for Calgary to score a big road victory, in my opinion, although the Caps are very tough to beat at the Verizon Center. But if Calgary could pull that off tonight, that would be fantastic And then the Blue Jackets would have still 100 points and go into their game in hand tomorrow. The Montreal Canadiens are at home to play the Red Wings tonight. The Tampa Bay Lightning, I just counted them out a few minutes ago, but they've got an opportunity to pick up 2 points tonight as they are at home to take on the Arizona Coyotes. Then you've got the Florida Panthers hosting the Carolina Hurricanes. The Philadelphia Flyers are in Winnipeg to take on the Jets tonight. Minnesota Wild is hosting the Sharks. The Vancouver Canucks are in Chicago, and the St. Louis Blues are on the road playing in Colorado tonight. So there's a full slate of games in the NHL going on this evening as the playoff picture starts to tighten. The Penguins, by the way, when they play the Sabres today, later on tonight, I should say, they can clinch a playoff spot, and they can become the third team in the Metropolitan Division to do that. So all they have to do is beat the Sabres in any fashion, and then they are officially in the playoffs. So that's what's going on tonight around the NHL. I saw an article earlier today. It was talking about the line of Sidney Crosby, Jack Guentzel, and Jake Guentzel, isn't it? Anyway, the other guy's Connor Sheary. I know that for sure. So that line, they were calling it Sid and Kid's line is what they were calling it. So it was talking about that line and how good they've been playing. And, so I wanted to take a look at the article and see what it was talking about, because it was talking about comparing it to other past Penguins lines. Yeah, it's Jake Guentzel. So I can't even remember what I said a minute and a half ago. If I said Jack, I'm sorry, Jake Guentzel, Sidney Crosby, Connor Sheary. So it was talking about, Sid and Kid's line and how it compares against other lines. And I opened it up so excited to read it just to see what they say, because the Blue Jackets and Penguins will be playing each other very soon. And it was all an analytical breakdown on the whole thing. So I immediately closed out of it, and that was the end of that because I'm just, I understand that analytics have a place in the game, don't get me wrong, but I cannot look at that stuff and break down possession numbers and all that stuff that's on there. And there's a lot of stuff on there. There's a lot of things in the, this point something percentage, this, that, the other thing. Look, do they skate fast? Yeah, they do. Do they shoot the puck well? Yeah, they do. Do they distribute the puck well amongst themselves? Yeah, they do. Okay, good enough for me. Are they good players? Yes. Are they NHL players? Yes. Okay, good enough. The eye test. I will go with the eye test 10 out of 10 times. Now, if you're going to tell me, well, the eye test doesn't always say what you can find in the numbers, well, yeah, there's probably a little truth to that, but I still go with the eye test. And it's a combination. I've said it before on this show. I'll say it again. I know it's a combination, but I cannot open an article and read nothing but pure analytics. You know why? I don't know why. Maybe I'm not smart enough. I have no idea. Maybe I get bored too easily. Maybe my attention span is 3.3 seconds. I don't know. But I open it up and I see that and I go, click, close. Thank you very much. So now that I've just offended all of you analytical hockey people out there, I almost said I apologize. I don't apologize. Look, I don't disrespect what you do. It serves a purpose. There are teams that are using it. There are some teams that are crafting their entire team by it. We'll see if that works. But, I'm not going to apologize because I'm not a big fan of it by any means. So do your thing. I'll do my thing. There'll be a combination of the two, and everybody will be happy. All right. Yesterday I went long on this show. Today I'm shortening it up a bit because I was at that meeting, and now tonight my son finally, it looks like my son's going to get to play in his first high school baseball scrimmage. His JV team is playing, and I've got about a 30-minute drive to get there, so got to wrap it up today. But tomorrow, don't forget, it will be the Blue Jackets and the Toronto Maple Leafs playing at Nationwide Arena. It's the first of a back-to-back set of games with Washington on Thursday in the nation's capital. But the Blue Jackets will not be looking at that game tomorrow. They will be looking at tomorrow's game tomorrow, and they know that they have a challenge against the Toronto Maple Leafs. They've got to get through them first, and then they can worry about what comes after that. That's a 7 o'clock game tomorrow night. And until tomorrow's game day edition of CBJ and 30, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long.